Well, hello everyone, I'm here, and welcome to my introductory guide to cigars. People have been asking me to make this for a number of years now. It's well known that I smoke premium cigars. I'm kind of into it as a hobby. And I thought, well, I will put all of the information that is necessary to get into cigars into one video. Now, I haven't scripted this. I have slides, as you'll see, but I thought that it would be better to kind of speak from the top of my head so that it is a bit more authentic. So without further ado, let's get into my introduction to cigars. So here's the contents. I'm going to be covering why smoke cigars, the construction of a cigar, how to cut them, how to light them, how to smoke them, how long to smoke them for, and how to put them out, how to taste a cigar, what some typical tasting notes that you might get in a cigar would be, rating them, what to drink with a cigar, the whole debate about Cubans versus non-Cubans. Then I'll break that down a little bit more and talk about Cubans in particular and non-Cubans in particular. I'll introduce you to some top brands, how much to spend. Certainly not, certainly an expensive thing to be into. I'll say that up front. And finally, I'll give you my list of top five cigars. Now, there are whole channels devoted to cigars. There's a whole scene out there. And many people would have separate videos on each one of these topics. Here, I've put them all in one. So, you know, however long it takes, we're going to do this. And it will be there then for people looking to get into cigars. Or maybe you're already into cigars and, you know, just might be interested to know how I cover these topics. So let's deal with the first question then. Why smoke cigars at all? Well, the first thing I'll say is that smoking cigars is not like smoking cigarettes, where it's an addiction and you're trying to get a hit of nicotine or anything like that. You know, most cigar smokers don't smoke every day. I smoke maybe 2 to 3 a week in, you know, when it's cigar season, when it's sunny, when it's bad weather or in the winter, I might go weeks or even months without smoking a cigar. It is not it's not like kind of regular cigarette smoking. It's a completely different thing. It's much more like a kind of being into wine or being into, you know, fine cheeses, or maybe if you're into tasting whiskey, that is much closer to what you know, being a cigar smoker is about. You kind of you sample different types of cigars and how they taste. But the primary reason, even above the kind of tasting experience, I would say, is that it's relaxing. It puts you into a contemplative mood, or certainly does to me, because you have to take time out to do it. There's a whole ritual to it, and it, you know, most cigars will take more than half an hour. You know, a good cigar, maybe an hour, hour and a half sometimes, sometimes even up to two hours or more. So, you know, to take the time out to do that also gives you a chance to reflect and chill out a little bit. And then, like I said, it's a tasting experience to be savoured. There are kind of complexities of flavours in there. Every cigar is different. And then another side of it is the whole adventure of trying different brands and types and, you know, rating them against each other. And finally, I've just put in inverted commas there. There is a social aspect to it. I guess you can have a cigar with a friend, you know, have a chat over cigars. You know, certain events I've been to where people are smoking cigars socially. Although most of the time, I smoke my cigars alone. I have enjoyed cigars with other people. I have to say that I kind of prefer smoking alone because you can concentrate on the cigar and you can really get into it. But lots of people, you know, have a cigar smoking partner, and that's perfectly fine as well. So a cigar is made up of three different elements, and this is another way in which cigars, I guess, are very different from cigarettes. There's no rubbish in there. It's purely tobacco. The wrapper is made out of tobacco. The filler is tobacco. And then there's a binder, which keeps everything together around the filler. That is also tobacco. And the flavor profile of a cigar comes from the various combinations of different types of wrapper, different types of binder, different types of filler, and specifically the regions that they're grown in, the quality of the, you know, the tobacco leaf. And there's some debate over what is it that, you know, provides the flavor profile. You know, is it the wrapper? That's the thing that's in contact with your mouth. You know, that's the thing that you can taste directly. Is it the filler, or is the binder making the difference? And as far as I can tell, it's a combination of all three. And that you know, that's part of the joy of it, is finding out about all the different varieties. Now, in this video, I'm not going to go into too many technical terms. There's a lot of lingo around cigars, about the various shapes and sizes and so on. Because this is introductory, I'm going to try to veer away from getting too bogged down into some of those specifics. But this is pretty much the construction of all cigars. I should also say that some cigars are infused, like flavored. I mean, if you enjoy those sort of cigars, that's fine, obviously. But certainly, you know, in the cigar connoisseurs that I've read, the people I've spoken to, myself, we tend to frown on the kind of infused cigars, you know, like smoking a kind of stick of lemon sherbet or something. most, you know, cigar aficionados, don't really go for those infusions. But they do exist, I should say. Probably the biggest manufacturer of those are Drew Estates, who have the acid cigars. I mean, to me, that's something else entirely, you know. But yeah, they do exist. So the first thing to note if you're going to be smoking a cigar is that you need to cut them. At the end of a cigar, there's a little cap, or the top of the cigar, I should say, that there's a cap, and you need to take off the very end of that. Now, there's different ways of doing that. You can punch them, you can have a V-cut. My own preferred method is the double guillotine straight cutter. This is a picture of mine right here. And I mean, that's the way of doing it that I'm used to, so I just stick with that. Possibly there's some differences if you use the V-cut or the punch or whatever. I like doing it with a straight cut. I do have a punch here. I've got various different types of cutters here, but over time I've just gone back to this, and I use that. Basically, it's just the easiest. Now, one of the mistakes that a lot of people make is that they cut the cigar too far down. Actually, the thing you want to concentrate on is the cap. It's this small disc at the head of the cigar, and you're simply removing the very tip of that. You're not cutting into the whole body of a cigar or removing the whole cap, which will actually cause the wrapper to unravel. You're simply just taking that little tip off to expose the tobacco. if you lay that, now a very good method that I was taught by the tobacconist in my local cigar shop was that you lay the cutter down on the table, and then you stand the cigar vertically between the blades, and that is exactly how much you should take off. You know, exactly where the blades finish and the on the cigar. If you do it there, you'll never go wrong. And I have just stuck by that method, and I've never gone wrong with it. So that's how I was taught to do it. I do notice that very experienced cigar smokers, you know, they don't do that. They can just do it, you know, by looking. You know, that's up to you to build up the experience to do that. Now, the other question is how to light the cigar. Very important to know, you cannot use a normal cigarette lighter or regular matches with a cigar. This will tarnish the taste and it will ruin the cigar. You know, you may have just spent £30-40 on a single cigar and you've wrecked it by using a normal lighter with it. The taste of the kind of lighter fluid will just wreck the cigar, as will a normal match. One method you can use, you can get cigar matches. These are longer and they're odorless. Most cigar shops will actually give you a free pack of matches with them. They just throw it in. So if you're a very, very new starter, you could try experimenting with that technique. Basically, what you want to do is you want to gently toast the outer rim at the foot, turning it slowly. Some people, instead of using matches, they like to light a strip of a cedar instead of a match. If you buy a box of matches, there's usually a strip of cedar in there, and you can just, you know, peel off a bit of that and use the cedar. The other method to use, which is my own preferred method, simply because it is easier and I dislike faffing about, is to use a gas jet lighter. And this is one where you can actually refill it. There's a company called Swan who make universal gas refills, and you just buy a can of that and you can refill the lighter. And if you use this method, unlike using the matches where you light the rim, using the jet lighter, you should torch the foot, that is head on, but not so close that you char like the top of the cigar black. It should just be the very end of it, a little, you know, maybe 5 millimeters or something at the end. What I'll probably do is I'll find a video clip of a pro doing it to show you the method, and I'll just drop it in here. A good cigar, after you light it, should not require many touch-ups, that is, relighting. If it keeps going out, it's probably not lit properly in the first place, or there could be some issues with the draw, in which case, kind of look up guides on how to unplug the cigar or whatever. But I have never had that problem, and I've been smoking since, 6-7 years at this point, so I would not, I wouldn't expect you to have that many problems with it. Typically, I would say that I have to relight a cigar maybe twice. Sometimes if it's a long smoke, sometimes, you know, after about halfway, just a couple of little touch-ups required. But most of the time with a good cigar, you could easily go right through without ever touching up. All right, let me drop that video in now. And when I come back, I will talk about how to smoke.
So when you're talking about cutting a cigar, the first thing you want to make sure is that you cut it properly so it doesn't unravel on you. So when you look at the very top of a cigar, there's some layers and there's some lines. And that's where they kind of glue it together with a natural glue. So that what you want to do is you want to cut it just at the very, very top so that you expose the back. And all you're going to do is expose the tobacco, and that allows the air to come through.
Gotcha.
So now when it comes to lighting a cigar, what you want to do is, because these are blends, these are different tobaccos that are blended together, you want to make sure they're all heated properly. So the first thing you do is, away from your mouth, is you're going to just warm it up, and you're going to keep the flame a little bit further away, and you're going to watch it. And once it's warm, then you put it to your mouth, and you keep the flame away. And you're done.
That's it.
My man.
Cheers.
All right. So how do you smoke a cigar once you've got it lit and once you've cut it and all the rest of it? First, never inhale cigar smoke. It'll make you feel sick. You may turn green. They call it cigar sickness. I don't know if you've ever seen the Disney film Pinocchio, the original one, the animated one. There's a scene in that where Pinocchio takes a puff on a cigar and turns completely green. That's because he inhaled it. You shouldn't do that. Second, take your time. Aim for no more than two puffs per minute. If you smoke too fast, you'll not only get the cigar sickness, but also won't be able to take in the complexity of the flavors because you're overwhelming your sensations. I would say aim for 2 to 3 puffs per minute. They do say one puff per minute. I find that's a little bit too slow for me. Maybe two puffs per minute are something to aim for. Because there's a tendency to, if you're really enjoying it, to want to smoke faster. But try to control that and really take in the flavors. If you smoke too quickly, you can get, not only will you get the cigar sickness, but it can make you start feeling giddy as well. There's a lot of nicotine in cigars, so you don't want to overwhelm yourself. Third, do not flick the ash. You should let the ash build up on the cigar. If it's well constructed, the ash tower can become quite impressive. Either let it fall naturally or tap it into an ashtray when it looks like it is about to go. So there's kind of art to timing that. Sometimes you can go horribly wrong, of course, and you get ash all over yourself. But, with a bit of practice, you can kind of tell when that ash tower is about to go. And that buildup of ash actually helps with the flavor as you're smoking. So when you take your puff, take the smoke into your mouth, hold it for a bit longer than you normally would. And especially if you don't, I have never smoked kind of cigarettes. I've never been a smoker in that way. So, my instinct when I take the smoke into my mouth, I want to blow it out straight away. But I kind of have to check that. I kind of consciously be like, no, hold it in the mouth a little bit longer than you want to, and then blow it out. Some cigar smokers, they use a technique known as retrohale, where they can blow some of the smoke out of their noses. I cannot do this myself. Instead, I just try to smell some of the smoke. And this is quite important for tasting notes because the aroma is part of the taste. So how long do you smoke for and how do you put this cigar out? Well, the length of the smoke will depend entirely on the length of the cigar and of the ring gauge, that is the circumference of the head. A short smoke is typically between 15 to 20 minutes. A typical smoke, or between about 45 minutes to 90 minutes. I would say most cigars you'll smoke will be in that sort of range. A long smoke is over 2 hours, and you can get, the bigger Churchills, big fat cigars you can get. I tend not to smoke those myself, not only because they're very expensive, but also because, more than 2 hours is a long time to sit there with a cigar, and I'm a busy guy, you know. I don't have that sort of time just to spend hours upon hours with one cigar. However, it is nice to do on occasion. There is no rule on when the cigar is finished. Some people smoke just over half. Some smoke up to the band. And some smoke almost near to the end. That is also known as the nub. Personally, I tend to remove the band as I approach it, and I smoke just beyond where the band was. And usually for me, it starts getting a bit too hot, and I stop smoking at that point. I would say maybe a fifth of the cigar is left, you know, when I leave it. Some people smoke even beyond that. And some people smoke less than that, as I said. When you are done, do not stub it out like a common cigarette, but let it die with dignity in the ashtray. You should just kind of let it go out on its own. After a few minutes, it will go out on its own. And ideally, you want a cigar ashtray as shown. This is a picture of my own cigar ashtray. So, how do you actually taste a cigar? You've got the smoking technique down, but how do you actually discern the individual flavours that people talk about? Well, there are three main components to the taste. The tongue, that is the main taste, the hit that you get upon exhaling the smoke. There is the aroma, that is the notes you're picking up through the nose, you're smelling. And there is the finish, or the aftertaste. There is also a sensation or texture to the smoke, kind of vibe of the cigar, I guess, which is usually described by such adjectives as smooth, creamy, bold, or full-bodied. Ensure that you don't have any lingering residues of food in your mouth. These can drastically confuse the tasting profile of a cigar. Sparkling water is good to cleanse the palate. Keep the smoke in your mouth for long enough that it covers the tongue. Now, you can roll your tongue if you wish. If you read some guides, they tell people to kind of put your tongue up to the roof of your mouth. But this is usually unnecessary. I mean, I've tried doing that, and to me, it makes no difference whatsoever. I find that just keeping the smoke a little longer than you want to usually is enough to pick up a lot of those flavours. And as I mentioned before, crucially, leave time before your next puff to savour the taste. The tongue should give way to the finish, which can be short or long, depending on the cigar, obviously. And the finish should be a kind of second type of flavour that sneaks in after the initial hit. Very much like tasting something like whiskey, if you've ever done that, where there's kind of almost two steps to what's going on. What are some typical tasting notes? Well, this is Holt Cigar Company Flavor Wheel. You'll see many different flavor wheels out there if you linger on enough sites. But I would say that they've done a good job of picking out the kind of six main areas that you see a lot of cigars described using these sorts of adjectives. The first one is sweet, and you'll often hear people, especially when they're talking about milder cigars, talk about chocolate or cocoa. Sometimes you can get caramel, sometimes deeper sweetness such as honey or brown sugar or molasses. Some cigars have a fruitier flavour, and people discern flavours like dried apricots or raisins. It really depends on the cigar, of course. Another common flavour is nutty. A lot of medium Cubans have very distinctive nutty notes, especially the H-Up one, which I'll talk about later. Almond, walnut, these are kind of typical cashew, sometimes peanuts. It really depends on the cigar, but certainly you can get nutty notes. Another kind of area of taste is coffee. Various different strains, sometimes a creamier, milder kind of coffee, sometimes more like a kind of espresso, dark roast. Really depends on the cigar you're smoking, but usually there'll be some sort of coffee note in there somewhere, I would say. Another adjective that is used a lot in the cigar world is spicy. Bolder, more full-bodied cigars tend to have more spice. These flavors somewhat pack a punch, like white pepper or clove. Some stronger cigars can leave a licorice or aniseed aftertaste. Now, I personally tend to veer away from spicy cigars. I prefer milder cigars. Some people are the opposite. They like a, you know, they like a spicy cigar in that way. I tend to find that these flavors can sometimes overpower. They'd be too much, and it's the only thing that you can taste. So I prefer the kind of medium and milder cigars because I can pick up on a lot more of the complexity. Whereas, you know, if I'm being whacked over the head by pepper the whole time, I can't really figure anything else out, you know. There's also wood. Now, it sounds a little bit strange to say that wood is a taste, but cedar is very common, not least because most cigar boxes come lined with cedar. Sometimes you'll get those tubes, and sometimes there's even a strip of cedar in the tube. But sometimes you get notes like grass or hay. Especially in Cuban cigars, you get those kind of grass hay notes very often in milder cigars. Sometimes people talk about kind of hickory, like smoked wood, or oak, rarely sometimes tea as well. But yeah, I mean, pine is another one I would say comes in. And then finally, you have a range of flavors that are, they've just listed as natural. But you'll see adjectives like earthy, leather, salt or mineral sometimes, or mineral salt. They're quite common. Now, Cubans, as we'll talk about a bit more later, are known for a sensation called the Cuban twang. You'll see a lot, if you go on enough cigar forums or, you know, there's Cigar Reddit and there's many different YouTube channels. People who are really into Cubans talk about the Cuban twang. And it's very hard to describe what the Cuban twang is, but it's a certain kind of bready quality. Sometimes people will use adjectives like shortbread in the mild or medium cigars, sweet paprika in the more full-bodied ones, but you only really get that in Cubans. And when you get that hit, that Cuban twang, you'll know it when you feel it. It is a kind of, it's a kind of like a deep earth or salt or soil salt thing that happens. That's somewhere between bread or shortbread and like just pure salt. So I mean, that's how I would describe the Cuban twang. Other descriptions are available. So how do you actually rate a cigar? Well, a lot of, virtually all cigar reviewers that I've come across tend to talk about cigars in three phases, which are simply called the first third, the second third, and the final third. Sometimes people give the three thirds names. The second third is sometimes called the heaven, final third, things like the hell or various other names are applied to these. But I would say a good cigar should change its flavor profile a little bit over the three phases and take you on a bit of a journey. If you've smoked a cigar and it's just the same all the way through, that's usually a sign that it's not that interesting or not that good, certainly in my opinion. Unless, of course, that one taste is a really great taste. But I personally have never come across a great tasting cigar that is completely one note all the way through. Now, the second third is usually where the cigar comes into its own and proves its worth. Any early harshness or grassiness, the hay that I talked about, should be gone by the time you get to the second third. And like I said, if a cigar does not change discernibly between the first and second thirds, it's said to be one note and is typically marked down. Now, most seasoned cigar smokers do enjoy the final third as well, but some people stop after the second. It is generally true that the most joy that you get is in that middle third there. And, a sign of a really good cigar is that you don't want it to end, and you keep on wanting to get back to, that place. So you continue to smoke it right down. That's a sign that you've really enjoyed the cigar. I would say that, if you feel it getting hot in your hand. Whereas if you've kind of had enough and you're kind of wishing for it to end, then it's obviously the opposite of that. Now, some cigars can become too strong or hot down at the nub. They can become bitter and unpleasant, and naturally you should stop if this starts to happen. I usually finish long before this point myself. Many cigar reviewers give commentary on each of the three phases to chart the flavor profile before awarding their final score. And typically cigar reviewers give a score out of 100. Anything over 95, anything over 85 is very good. Anything over 95 is kind of all-time best kind of quality. And I would say like an excellent cigar will get a score like 91, 92, 93, something like that from seasoned smokers. Now, what do you drink with a cigar? First thing I'll say is you need a drink with a cigar, or you may well find that your mouth is going very dry. I always have some sort of drink with a cigar. I cannot handle, smoking for an hour and a half, completely dry. So if nothing else, have a sparkling water to hand. Water, in fact, is not bad because you can let the cigar speak for itself. Now, the main rule here when it comes to pairing a cigar with a drink is to match the strength of the cigar with the drink. So lighter drinks for lighter cigars, more full-bodied with more full-bodied. If the cigar is sweet, try to have a sweet drink, and so on. Now, coffee is my personal go-to, whether black or with milk. Since cigars often have coffee notes, they can complement each other pretty well. And typically, I have a coffee with my own cigars. I would say 80% of the time, 70% of the time, I'll have a coffee with my cigar. Now, black tea is also acceptable. Herbal varieties may interfere with the cigar's flavor profile unless very carefully matched. You can get kind of quite floral cigars and quite floral herbal teas, I guess, but you'd have to really kind of study that, I would suggest. You can have sweet soft drinks like Coca-Cola or root beer. They can draw out the sweetness in a cigar's flavor profile, and as such can be paired successfully with many cigars. I've certainly had a root beer with an Epicure 2 once, and it was fine. I've had like Coke Zero with a cigar before. However, I should mention that some aficionados naturally frown on this. They think that the soft drink is taking too much away from the cigar. Personally, I actually find that the the sweetness can help draw out some of the sweetness in a sweet cigar myself. The classic complement to cigars is a cognac. The very first time I had a cigar, I had it with a cognac, incidentally. Other alcoholic drinks like whiskey, beer, wine, rum, they're all very common also. And generally, you want to follow the pattern of matching the body and the flavor profile. For example, a spicy rum for a spicy cigar. That said, you know, you don't want to get too obsessive over this. For example, earlier on, I had one of my regular Hoyo Epicure 2s. That's a lighter cigar. I had it with a single malt Penderyn whiskey. That's a Welsh Gold. And they work together really well. There's some sweetness in the whiskey, and that was helping to draw out some of the sweeter notes in the Epicure 2. So, you know, perfectly fine. Even though you might say, well, the whiskey is a little bit more powerful than the milder cigar. It actually didn't work like that earlier on. The cigar was coming through loud and clear. So really, really depends, you know, on specific combinations. So, and that's part of the joy of it. You can experiment a little bit as well. What you don't want to have happen is for the one of the two things to overpower the other one. That's the thing you have to watch out for, I guess. I actually find that the kind of stronger alcoholic drinks kind of act as a bit of a palate cleanser as well. When you can go in for your next puff and you can start the whole thing all over again. Okay, so now if you really kind of hang around, you know, cigar conversations long enough, the subject of Cubans versus non-Cubans will come up sooner or later. And this is one of those things that people have very strong views on one way or the other. You get people who are staunchly like Cubans are the best, Cubans are the best, Cubans are the best. You get other people, and that usually comes with a certain kind of snobbishness, I guess, as well, which is unavoidable in something like this. And then you get people who are almost staunchly the other way, like anti-Cuban, like they're so pro non-Cuban that they're almost anti-Cuban. Now, there's a little bit of context that you need to understand here as to why this debate rages as it does. The most obvious thing is that Cubans are embargoed in the USA and have been since 1962 when John F. Kennedy, who was a famous cigar smoker himself, by the way, banned Cuban imports, but not before, famously, he got the press to send him 1,000 of his favourite H. Upman cigars. Interestingly, my favourite brand of cigar is the H. Upman 2, so that's one thing I have in common with JFK. So he basically had, it seems in bad taste to say cigars for the rest of his life, given what happened to him, but yes. Okay, so because they're embargoed in the USA and because Cubans are the most famous cigars in the world to the point where, you know, cigars and Cubans are pretty much synonymous with each other, they tend to be, and because on top of that, they tend to be more expensive, although that's not always true, as we'll get on to later on in the video. They have a kind of mystique around them, especially in America, where, you know, you basically have to know a few people to get some. Here in Europe, they are available, and they're actually more common in Europe than the non-Cubans. My local cigar shop, as an example, is a Habano shop, which only stocks Cubans. So I am used to smoking Cuban cigars as my regular. And for me, having the non-Cubans is more of the kind of adventure part, because they're not easy to get hold of for me. I have to get them sent here, or I have to, you know, take a trip into London or whatever. So it really depends. The truth is that the higher price of certain brands of Cubans, like Cohibas, for example, is a function of supply and demand. The tobacco that is used in the Cohibas is only grown in one region of Cuba. And because of that, there's only so much land, there's only so much tobacco, they cannot fulfill the demand around the world, and this results in a higher price. The other truth is that Cuban is only one flavor profile and is not the be-all and end-all. There are many other great cigars, and they tend to be called New World or non-Cuban, and I'll tell you more about those in a moment. The Cuban flavor profile tends to have some cedar, a little bit of wood, some nuttiness, and a kind of deep earth or soil in the finish. That kind of Cuban twang I was telling you about before, a certain breadiness. And non-Cubans cannot replicate this. However, one might just as easily say that Cubans cannot replicate non-Cuban profiles too. So it's kind of swings and roundabouts when it comes to this debate. Now, on Cubans themselves, all of the different Cuban brands that you see, because Cuba is a communist country and who essentially nationalized all of the industries, not just the cigar industry, but every industry in Cuba was nationalized. There is a single state-owned company called Habanos, or Habanos S.A., which runs every single Cuban brand. So even though you're seeing here Cohiba, Hoyo, Upman, Romeo and Julieta, Monte Cristo, they're in fact owned and operated by a single entity. Now, each one of those brands has an extremely interesting history of its own, often going right the way back to the 19th century and the pre-revolutionary era. Each one of them would be a video in and of themselves. You know, it's up to you to read about them. I will mention that the Cohiba was launched by Fidel Castro himself in 1962, and that is their kind of number one flagship, the Cohiba. It's a little bit more expensive. It's you know, probably the most famous cigar brand in the world at this point. And it was designed as Cuba's kind of flagship cigar, you know, personally designed for Fidel Castro himself. The reputation of Cubans is chiefly for their unique flavor profile. The construction can be inconsistent, although I've never had any problems with them personally. But I do see some people complain about the construction in some boxes. They can be a little bit rustic, as you can see here. They tend to be sold young as well. Non-Cubans are often pre-aged. You know, I say often the best ones, which we'll talk about in a moment. You know, they can be like, oh, well, the tobacco here has been aged for 2 years or 3 years or 5 years or whatever. The Cubans tend to ship young, and then cigar connoisseurs will age them in their own humidors for 6 to 12 months before smoking them. Nothing actually wrong with smoking a young cigar. There can be a little bit more harshness there in a young cigar. So, you know, the best thing to do is that if you have a local cigar shop is to go in and actually ask about it. And they may actually have some in stock that have been sitting there for 6 months, in which case you can have one of those. Generally, if you're buying a box, they'll be young. And many cigar smokers like to trace the journey of the cigar by, you know, they get the box, they try one straight out of the box to see what it's like, then they leave it for a few months and then try another one, and so on and so forth. Generally, people say there's a sweet spot around 5 years. What happens is that they mellow out a little bit, and then they gain complexity and flavor. And about 5 to 6 years, people say, is the sweet spot. I don't know that because I have not been smoking that long. And, you know, the cigars I have in storage here have been there for 9 months. I've been aging a box of Epicure 2s for 9 months. And they've certainly gained, you know, they taste better now than they did when I first got them. But, you know, I'll have to tell you in 5 years, you know, if they really gain that much more. I have also read that beyond 10 years, you know, other than rare exceptions, they're not going to gain any more complexity after that kind of length of time. On non-Cubans, another name for non-Cubans is New World Cigars. There's some interesting history here as well, which does relate back to the Cuban Revolution. Many of the established tobacconist families that had been there for many years, basically they fled because they had their factories shut down by, you know, Fidel Castro. And they fled, they took their seeds with them, their tobacco seeds in many cases, and more importantly, their knowledge to Nicaragua, to the Dominican Republic, and also to Honduras, which are the three main New World regions. I mean, depending on the year, I think Nicaragua and Dominican Republic are definitely like one and two. Which way around they are, you know, it depends. You know, I think at the minute it's the Dominican Republic, but maybe next year it might be Nicaragua and vice versa, you know. And Honduras is definitely number three in that race. Now, because Cubans have been under embargo by the US government since 1962, and because of the general lack of availability of Cubans in the American market, some American retailers, I would say, have an anti-Cuban agenda to promote you know, non-Cubans. And, you know, in my experience, Americans American cigar channels and so on, you know, they've got a kind of number of set talking points that they tend to kind of go on a bit of an anti-Cuban rant, which I think is, I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be malicious. It could be that they're just used to smoking non-Cubans and therefore, you know, feel the need to kind of justify that, whatever. There is a lot of mystique and snobbery around Cubans in, you know, in the cigar scene. Personally, I'm used to smoking Cubans, and I, you know, I rate them really highly. But also, I would say there are some terrific non-Cuban cigars out there as well. So I'm kind of like, I guess, a sensible centrist on this topic. But, you know, other opinions are available. Now, Dominican, one of the things that the pro-Cuban side say is, well, you can't replicate that kind of Cuban distinct flavor profile due to the soil, due to the kind of specific conditions of Cuba, the environment, and so on. But the real comeback to that is, well, the Dominican Republic and Nicaragua and Honduras, they have their own distinct flavor profiles. They have their own soil, you know, volcanic, I believe, in Nicaragua. You know, they different kind of length of time in the, you know, strength of the sun shining, and all these sorts of things affect the flavor, apparently. So, you know, it's like, I would just say every region has its own flavor, and It's almost silly in a way to say, well, it's Cubans and non-Cubans. You could also say, like, well, imagine being into wine and you talked about, like, French wine and non-French wine. I mean, at this point, I think the market is advanced enough to almost, like, move beyond this dichotomy. That said, you'll see on every single website, partly for the political reasons, this division, Cuban and New World, or Cuban and non-Cuban. Anyway, if I had to generalize, I'd say that the Dominicans tend to be milder and smoother in their flavor profile. Nicaraguans are a bit stronger, bolder, and darker. Now, Nicaraguans are famous for this dark Maduro wrapper that they have. You'll see the kind of darker cigars. The Hondurans are known for having even stronger cigars again than that, like even stronger than the Nicaraguans. So, generally, you'll also see much more experimentation in the non-Cubans than the Cubans. And again, I would say that's partly the result of the history. The Cuban company, the Habanos, are extremely like opaque and like mysterious. Nobody really knows like what they're thinking, and they're kind of random in a way. They never explain themselves, which adds to the mystique of the Cubans in a way. But also, like, you know, they'll just like suddenly stop a cigar that, even though it's been selling well, they'll announce, like, there's kind of almost no rhyme or reason as to which, you know, what comes out and what gets stopped and all the rest of it, which is part of the fun, I guess. But with the non-Cubans, obviously, they're much more kind of in the Western world, quote unquote. And most of them come from really famous tobacco companies. So they have, they make a kind of big deal of the research they've done and the kind of experimentations with different blends they've done and so on and so forth. So you get a lot more of that sort of thing, I would say, in the non-Cuban ranges. But then with that, you get more variability in quality as well. I would say, like, you know, the average standard of the Cuban is high. Whereas, you know, with the non-Cubans, you're going to get like the very best, but also like the drizzling shits right down at the bottom as well. I would say Cubans never, you know, there's a kind of benchmark, even with the worst Cubans. You know, I've never had like a really, really bad Cuban cigar. Apart from once I had a Cohiba, ironically, I had a Cohiba Siglo 4, which I really didn't enjoy. I'm just sometimes you can get a bad one, right? But I'm not chalking that up to Cohiba. You know, maybe I'd eaten something weird that day, and then, you know, maybe there was something weird going on with my own taste buds that day. But all I could taste was menthol with that. So who knows what the reason for that was. But anyway, in my experience, you can get like much more disappointing non-Cubans where it's just kind of bland. There's nothing to it. There's, you know, one note. Like, I've had bad non-Cubans much more than I've had bad Cubans. That said, at the top end, they're really good as well. It's also pretty common for New World cigars to kind of mix and match where they get their tobacco from. A lot of them will have wrappers from Ecuador, or wrappers from Mexico, or wrappers from Cameroon, which, again, you know, each one of them have distinctive flavor profiles. You'll also see that kind of lighter Connecticut wrapper as well. Now, it's called Connecticut. I don't know if all of that tobacco comes from Connecticut in America. I think they can actually grow that, you know, in the Dominican Republic or Nicaragua or wherever as well. It's just called Connecticut. But they do also have tobacco in actual Connecticut in America as well. So you see those wrappers quite a lot as well. Anyway, with all of that said, what are some top brands? Well, we've mentioned Cohiba, and I've mentioned H. Upman. That was the favorite cigar of JFK. There's the Hoyo de Monterrey, which I've mentioned a few times. One of my own favorite cigars, the Epicure 2, is made by Hoyo. Romeo and Julieta is another very famous cigar brand. They were known as the favorite cigar of a certain Sir Winston Churchill. And they then developed a cigar known as the Churchill, which is actually a cigar size long cigar in honor of him. And now a lot of brands have their own version of the Churchill. I would say outside of the Romeo Julieta, there's a non-Cuban company called Davidoff, which has a pretty extensive Churchill range as well. Personally, the Churchills are a bit long for me, kind of a bit too much, but and they're quite expensive as well, in my opinion. But yes, Romeo and Juliet is certainly one cigar brand you may have heard of. Monte Cristo is another really famous one. My first ever cigar was a Monte Cristo number 2. You know, they're quite nice, I guess. Then there's Partagas and also Bolivar. Generally, the Bolivars for Cubans. I mean, Cubans generally are more kind of medium cigars in general, in the overall scheme of things. The Bolivar tends to be the more full-bodied, spicier cigars in the Cuban range. There are many other Cuban brands. I think Habanos maintains 27 brands. These are the most famous ones, but there are other famous ones that I haven't mentioned, like the Juan Lopez, for example, or I mean, there's so many different ones, and you'll get to know them. So what are some non-Cuban top brands? Well, I mentioned one, Davidoff. There's one company called Arturo Fuente, who are extremely highly rated in cigar circles, and I've never had one. And the reason I've never had one is that they have some sort of exclusive deal with a certain cigar trader where they are only sold in store. So you cannot buy them online. My local cigar shop is Cuban only. So to get one of those, I have to take a special trip into London. I mean, I could go to Leeds or Liverpool, I guess, where the other branches are, but London is my best bet. And they have some very, very raved about cigars, including the Opus X, which is probably the most hyped cigar I have ever read about, but I've not tried one. But Arturo Fuente, just on reputation, are probably the kind of biggest kind of premium or super premium boutique cigar brand is the Arturo Fuente. The other two big non-Cuban brands are Davidoff, which is based in London. They've got a huge, extensive range of cigars, very high quality, a little bit pricey. They've got a famous cigar called the Signature 2, Signature Number 2, which I've had. I mean, it's all right. And they've got that Churchill range, which I mentioned. But Davidoff are always coming out with kind of special new cigars, and they have a lot of specials, and they're always experimenting. And then I would say that the other big non-Cuban brand is Padron, pretty famous. There's a cigar series that they do called the Padron 1926, which has various different numbers after it. I can't remember which is the really famous one. Is it the number two? Maybe the number two is the famous one, but correct me if I'm wrong. I've also seen the number nine talked about. Padron is a nice cigar. I mean, they're all of these are top end cigars. There's also Perdomo. I had their 10th anniversary champagne not so long ago. Not bad cigar at all. There's the Ashton. Olivia is another kind of highly rated non-Cuban brand. And then there's My Father. Now, I've never had a My Father. I have to hold my hand up. But I see that talked about a lot as well. It's not that I'm down on non-Cubans. It's just that my opportunities to smoke them are fairly limited. And I usually have to order it in, you know, order it online or whatnot. I have sampled quite a range of them. There are quite a few that I haven't mentioned here, like Rocky Patel, which I think is really kind of mid-tier. There's Drew Estate is kind of corporate, and you know they do those infused things which I'm not that keen on. There's a Camacho is another one. Alec Bradley. I mean, to me, all these are kind of like, you know, the ones I've had have been a bit meh, you know. Coming off, like, I'm used to smoking Cubans, trying, like, the new worlds, and, you know, they're not really knocking my socks off. One of the things I will say is that the Cubans tend to be, like, medium, mild medium, you know, and like I said, the Bolivar is probably the most kind of full-bodied that they get. Some of the more expensive Cohibas and things like that. The non-Cubans, they can go, like, the Nicaraguans, and they can go, like, really full-bodied. And, you know, as I said, my preference is towards a milder cigar, but some people like to go that way. And if you're one of those sorts of guys who wants a really, like, full-bodied one, probably the non-Cubans are the way to go, you know? But again, you have to do your research. Now, how much do you spend on cigars? Cigars are not cheap. Although, seemingly, from what I've seen of the prices, they're cheaper in America than they are in Europe. Probably that's the shipping cost of getting it across the Atlantic Ocean, I'd imagine. America's just closer to these regions than Europe is. Although, ironically, due to the embargo, it's a lot easier to get Cuban cigars here than it is in America. Anyway, given this fact, given the fact that they're not cheap, if you are looking to get into cigars, I would say that it's better to dive in with a decent one, about £25, £30, something like that, than to get a cheap smoke. You know, you might be tempted to get like the cheapest cigar you can find. Really, you're not going to know if you're into it unless you try with a decent cigar. If you try with it, I mean, there's an argument to say that you could try with a decent cigar. It's not for you. You've wasted £30. Well, okay. You know, but I would say that, I mean, my first cigar was a Monte Cristo 2. If it had been a cheap smoke, which was kind of nothing, maybe I wouldn't have got into them. You know, I just so happened to be at a hotel one time, and they had a cigar lounge there, and I just thought it'd be fun to, you know, try one, and there it was. And now, 7 years later, I'm making this video. So you know, I would tend towards saying it's no real point wasting your time with really cheap smokes. If you are going to get a cheap smoke, I would recommend maybe one of the cheaper Upmans. That's a good one to start with, maybe. When I talk about my top five cigars, maybe I'll, you know, give some recommendations as to some ones to try. To start with, I would say just buy one or two at a time. There's no point like buying like 10 cigars. For a start, you're not going to have anywhere to store them. So they're going to dry out and they're going to get ruined. I would try different ones when you can. And there's nothing wrong with, you know, just buying one or two at a time, smoking them, buying some more. I mean, that's kind of how I did it. Obviously, your budget is your own. I tend not to smoke more than 2 to 3 times a week. I almost never smoke more than one in a day. Reason for that is because my voice usually starts going after the second one. Sometimes I will go several weeks without smoking at all. So give you an idea of how frequently I smoke. I would say I'm pretty into cigars at this point, and I still don't smoke that regularly. They do say, I mean, you hear crazy stories like Winston Churchill famously was a chain. Like he never, you know, he from morning till night, Churchill would smoke. I've seen some stories that Fidel Castro smoked 100 cigars a day. I mean, that seems impossible. There's just not enough time in the day for that. But Fidel Castro was also almost never without a cigar, apparently. I can't smoke like that myself. Maybe I don't have the constitution for it or whatever, but I tend to prefer that kind of no more than one a day. I've had 4 cigars this week, but that was partly because I knew I was making this video and I wanted to try a few different ones. So more expensive does not necessarily mean better. For example, there's a brand called Gurkha, who are notoriously expensive, some of the most expensive cigars in the world. And they have a terrible reputation with a lot of connoisseurs. I don't think I've ever seen anyone have anything good to say about Gurkhas. I mean, people say like they are really awful tasting cigars. I have never tasted one. I've never had one because of just the sheer amount of negativity towards them whenever they're brought up, basically, in the sorts of forums and Reddits and videos that I watch as well. Not worth investing in a box, in my opinion, because, I mean, a box of cigars is expensive, right? You're looking like £500 plus. If you're lucky, £400 for like 25. Right? I would say it's not worth investing in a box until you've built up an idea of what you like. To give you an idea, I did not buy my first box of cigars until I'd been smoking for 5 years. That was the first box I bought was last year. Before that, I was just sampling the different ranges. Didn't feel ready that I wanted to commit because it's a lot of money, you know. I've just bought my second box the other day. I had a I'll tell you in a moment what that cigar was, and I'm probably going to buy a third box pretty soon as well. I'm ready to start buying more boxes at this point, but it's taken me a long time to get to there. I mean, I had that first Monte Cristo I had was in. It's 2023 now. I think it was in 2017, that first Monte Cristo. So, yes, six years pretty much. And there was a bit of a lag between having that first cigar and then like getting into cigars because, you know, I spent time reading about them and then it's like, oh, should I do this and all the rest of it. So, you know, it's a pretty long time investment and it's something you have to research and things like that. Anyway, without further ado, here are my top 5 cigars. Well, at number 5, I have a cigar that I had the other day. It's called the Vega Fina Classic Corona. It's a non-Cuban. I just picked this up randomly from a deli, and my gosh, was it a stunning cigar. Now, I put it in here at number 5, which is a pretty bold call, just based on one. But I really liked it. I mean, if I have another one like that, this could, that one could actually sneak up because it was kind of buttery and salty, and everybody knows that I like Welsh salted butter, and this was almost like a kind of Welsh, like a cigar version of Welsh salted butter. So I really enjoyed that. Now that is a cheaper smoke. That was only £24, I want to say. So, you know, that might be a decent one to try, just to start with. You can get them in the tubes, you know, so that would be easy to pick up, and you could probably keep it in that tube for a few days without worrying too much. So I enjoyed that. Wouldn't be a bad first-time cigar either. Another great cigar, caramel flavour, is the Por Laranja Petty Corona. And, you know, that's a Cuban. In fact, all of the rest of mine are Cubans now, which, again, is just what I'm used to in my kind of local cigar shop and buying online as well. And the Por Laranja is another cheaper smoke, I would say. It's only like £22-23, I want to say, for that. You may be able to find it cheaper. And I think a box of those is only £200 or so, from what I can remember. Maybe a little bit more. So that's a cheaper smoke. Wouldn't be a terrible first one to try, the Por Laranja. Very sweet, kind of caramelly cigar, you know, smokes well, about 45 minute smoke, maybe an hour if you're really slow. Then my third favorite cigar, and I've just bought a box of these because honestly I had one the other day and I just thought, wow, this is just so good. And there's the Partagás Syria D number 4, known commonly as the D4. Partagás, top Cuban brand. And now, all throughout this video, I've said I like mild or kind of medium, light to medium cigars. The Partagás is, I would say, more full-bodied than that. And, you know, it's complex. It's got a lot of those kind of Cuban characteristics that I like. The kind of deep earth and, you know, it's kind of sweet, nutty. I enjoy it. I enjoyed it a lot. Sounds weird, but like hazelnut and white chocolate notes as well in there. There's so much going on. But I would not recommend the Partagás as a first cigar because it's just a bit too... If you had never smoked a cigar before and you picked up a Partagás, it might just knock your head off, you know, make you sick. Like, you have to... I think it's a cigar that you have to, you know, for a bit more experience. That said, if you're used to... Like, if you're into... wine or whiskey or something like that, and you're into kind of full body taste, maybe you might go for it. I don't know. It's hard to kind of gauge, but I would say that's a bit richer than some of these others, most of these others that I'm talking about. Then there's my regular, my favorite, you know, second favorite cigar of all time. It's a classic. The Hoyo Epicure 2. Now, these are all regular line cigars, not kind of limited editions, or kind of, you can get like special ones and so on, like collector's items and all of that sort of stuff. I mean, all of that sort of stuff is fun, but I like, for a list like this, I think it just has to be kind of regular production line. And for me, the Epicure 2 is just so pleasant. You know, it's relaxing. It's so smooth. It has And it has the kind of, it takes me on the exact journey I want the cigar to take me on. It starts pretty sweet. You know, there's some of those kind of grassy hay notes in the very early part of the cigar. But then when you get into that second third, that sweetness gives way to that kind of, I don't know, I get like a deep hit of mineral salt or earthiness, and it really kind of takes you on that journey, I think. They call the Epicure 2 the king of cream because it's a very creamy cigar as well. I like creaminess in cigars. It's, you know, I vanilla notes and things like that. I'm into all of that. And for me, it's just perfect. Like, I very seldom have had it and not enjoyed it. And now, with 9 months of 9 months of age on them, they're coming on quite nicely. I had one earlier on, like I mentioned. And then my favorite cigar of all, probably my favorite brand, and definitely my favorite cigar, is the H. Upmann Connoisseur A. Now, you can actually only get these in, it's like an exclusive cigar to Habanos stores. Just so happens that my local store is one of these. They're a little bit too expensive for me to get a box. I mean, I think a box of these for 25 is like £850. That's a lot of money for 25 cigars, you know. So I haven't taken the plunge yet. I'm thinking about it. But for me, the Connoisseur A is just an amazing cigar. It has, you know, Upmann, I would say, has a kind of nuttiness to it. Maybe like kind of hazed almonds or something like that. It is definitely in the mix. But it does that same thing as the Epicure 2, where you get those hits of kind of Cuban twang and earth and salt and things like that as it develops. But also, it's got this kind of shortbread quality as well, all the way through it. So I love the Connoisseur A. Takes you on a journey. It's my favorite cigar. And as things stand, these are my top five. Now, I will say, I really want to try that Opus X that's raved about so much. Maybe that might make it. There's so many cigars out there. And, you know, if you're into cigars, you're always trying new ones. You know, you're always trying new ones. And sometimes you hit ones, well, that's a keeper, right? For me, the Partagas and the Hoyo, these are keepers. And if I had unlimited money, friends, I would get that box of Upmanns too. And I might just do it. I might just do it. All right, I hope you enjoyed this kind of gentle introduction to cigars. If you're new to the channel, you know, please join it. I sell courses at the academic agency. Currently, you've got for the next couple of days, you can still take advantage of my spring sale. Promo code Mario Law will get you 25% off all courses at the academic agency. But most importantly of all, get out.